In Mark chapter 4, we've really slowed down dealing with, as Mark deals primarily with the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ and things that he has done. He seems to be emphasizing that more than the messages and the teachings of the Lord Jesus. And so when Mark kind of slows down and begins to deal with the messages, then there's a point of emphasis being made that we need to pay attention to. And in Mark chapter number 4, we find one of the most important messages, one of the most important lessons and teachings that Christ ever gave in his earthly life and ministry, known as to you and I, the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. In the parable of the sower, this is a message being given to multitudes, and he gives it in verses 1 down through verse number 9, and then there's his 12, and some others come to him and ask him about the meaning of this story, the meaning of this parable that has been given. Jesus is going to explain beginning in verse number 14, and we'll pick up there. We're preaching one verse this morning. The Bible said, "The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Verse 20 is where we'll pick up this morning. "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we are thankful today for the privilege to enter in the house of the Lord. Thank you for a good assembly, a good number of people, Lord, here this morning. Lord, as we have prayed about this day and labored for this day and the goals that have been set, Lord, we understand it's about more than a number. Lord, there are more than just numbers here. Lord, there are the souls of men, there are families, there are individuals, there are people who are needy, people who are helpless, people who are hopeless, people, Lord, who are broken in all kinds of ways. And we pray to the God who knows how to reach us where we are, asking, dear God, that you would breathe upon the remainder of this service the preaching of the word of God, Lord, as you have called us and anointed us and Lord, even placed upon our heart for this very service what to say and what to preach. Lord, I pray that your word would accomplish that, Lord, that it, Lord, to be sent forth to do. May sinners be convicted and drawn by the Holy Ghost. Lord, may the saints of God be stirred in their heart and encouraged, Lord, in their relationship with the Lord. May, Lord, the wayward and those that, Lord, have grown cold in their spiritual life, Lord, may those fires be rekindled this morning. Lord, when all is said and done, I pray nobody would say they've seen a preacher or a church or singers or, Lord, be impressed with a building or a ministry. Lord, I pray today all eyes would be set in upon the one who really matters, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May we leave here saying how great Jesus is. Lord, I pray that you'd accomplish these things by his precious name. Amen and amen. We've been preaching the parable of the sower, understanding that of all the things that Jesus taught, I understand the Sermon on the Mount is very important and very relative even to our day and our hour. And likely is one of the most important things Jesus ever preached. But Christ, as his custom was, when he began to preach his doctrine, he did He didn't do this necessarily in the Sermon on the Mount, but he would often teach in parables, and that is what is before us today, is a parable. And somebody said, well, what is a parable? A parable has simply been said to be a earthly story or an earthly illustration that has behind it a heavenly truth or a heavenly meaning. And Christ in Mark in chapter number 4, he begins to give this parable of the sower, and the emphasis that is laid upon it is found in verse number 13 when Christ looks at the ones that have come requesting of him to explain this. What does this mean? How is this relative to our life and your ministry? And the Lord said, know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? And when you relate that to what Matthew and Luke wrote about that very statement of the Lord Jesus concerning this parable, you will find that you will never understand spiritual truth or any other parable apart from being able to understand what Jesus is teaching in the parable of the sower. Everything we learn by way of truth, it hinges upon understanding what is going on in our life when the Word of God and truth is being presented. And so that is the matter of the importance of the parable of the sower. And so as Christ gave this and explains it in the verses that we've read, we see that there are four different grounds, four different soils representing four different kinds of hearts upon which the Word of God and the Gospel and truth are constantly being sown. And the sower that is sowing is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And He is a perfect sower, and He is sowing the seed of the Word of God. The seed of truth. We would call it not only the perfect sower, but we would look there at the precious seed. The seed has been stored. The seed relates to the work of the sower in getting that, amen, sown upon this ground in these hearts, that there might be fruit produced for His glory. And so there's nothing wrong with the sower. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The matter that is at hand is the ground upon which the sower is scattering the seed. The soil determines whether or not fruit is produced. The ground upon which the seed is placed and broadcast, it is the ground that determines the fruitfulness or the unfruitfulness, amen, in relationship to this matter of a spiritual fruitfulness and productivity that comes by the gospel. And so we've been preaching through these grounds. We've really slowed down and are trying to examine the question, what kind of heart do you have? What kind of heart do you have? When Christ looked out and seen the great multitude in verse number 1, He's seen more than numbers. He's seen more than a great crowd that day. He's seen the hearts and the souls of men. He's seen them where they were. He's seen as He, being the sower on that day, had been giving them truth and giving them the gospel and telling them of their need of salvation and what He had come to do for them. He's seen within them their heart. Amen. He didn't see their racial background. He didn't see their economic status. He didn't see their political affiliation. He saw their heart. And when He saw their heart, He broke them down if you will, categorized them in four different groups. He classified the first group as being the wayside hearted. I won't re-preach all of that this morning, but the wayside, amen, that is hardened ground. That's ground the seed never penetrates. That's the ground the fowls of the air come and steal the seed, and it's devoured up. And there's no productivity whatsoever. And so what kind of heart do you have? And we preach the message on watch out for the wayside heart. The second heart and the second ground or soil that Christ deals with is known as the stony ground or the stony heart. And we preached a message there at a verse 16. 16 and verse number 17 on the sad tale of the stony heart. How then the seed fell upon that ground. It gave a little sprout up, but soon withered and produced no fruit because it had no root. And what a sad tale is found in the matter of the stony heart. A resistance to truth. A lack of endurance. A not counting the cost. An examining of truth in the moment and finding it to be something to thrill you for a time. Amen. But not something that changes your life for time and eternity. And what a sad tale we find in the stony heart. And then we preached last week on the third ground, known as the thorny heart. Jesus said, "And these are they which are sown among thorns." And how the seed was broadcast. And as the seed of the gospel, the seed of salvation, the seed of truth, was sown upon this ground, underneath that ground, there were other seeds that had been there all along. And they spring up together, and the thorns come, and the thorns outgrow the harvest or the seed, whatever it was intended to produce, to bring fruitfulness and harvest. The thorns choke the seed. And Jesus said, "It becometh unfruitful." And so there is a rivalry that is going on in that heart. There are two different seeds trying to grow at the same time. And we preached on last week, what kind of heart do you have? And preaching on the thorny heart, we dealt with the rivalry in the thorny heart. And how there are so many things that are rivaling in our generation within the hearts of men, trying to choke the power of the gospel and the message of salvation, lest sinners hear it, receive it, believe it, and have their life changed. And so there is a rivalry that is going on. Now Jesus, as he looked down over the crowd, you would think, amen, hearing this story, man, the Lord thinks three-quarter this crowd is lost. Three-quarter this crowd is not interested in the gospel. And no doubt there are some truths to be derived from that. Amen. But I'm thankful that there is more than wayside-hearted people. I'm thankful there are more than stony-hearted people. I'm thankful there is more ground in this field than, amen, the thorny ground or the thorny heart. We come this morning to the glorious side of this parable. Amen. It's the side of the parable that I think Jesus intends for all men and women and boys and girls to arrive at. And it is known as the sowing of the seed upon the good ground. The good ground. Amen. And Jesus here is speaking of what we will call today a good heart. A good heart. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" This word good, it's an interesting word. And we use this word a lot of times in our society in different ways. But if you'll word study this out, here's what you'll find. A word good literally means beautiful. A beautiful ground. Valuable ground. Literally, Brother Tim, virtuous ground. Ground that when you look at it, you go, "Boy, if I can just get some seed on that, amen, that ground will produce a crop and bring forth a great harvest." A beautiful, beautiful, valuable, and virtuous. Amen. Good, good ground. And so this morning, I believe the heart that, amen, is receptive to the gospel, the heart, amen, that takes in the message of salvation, that believes the message of salvation, who, amen, has a radical change in their life as a result of salvation, that this is what Christ says, this is good ground. And this morning, I believe the Lord is looking for good ground. Amen, He's looking for good ground. He's not looking for a good life. He's not looking for a good life. If that's the case, we're all in trouble. Amen. He's looking for a good heart. He's looking for good ground within you that He might sow the seed of the gospel. Now, three things we'll try to give this to you this morning and we'll be done. And we'll get you, amen, the buffet before the Methodists get there this morning. Amen. Notice with me, number one, the preparation of the good heart. A preparation of the good heart. Thus far, Brother Jack, all we have seen is ground that is absolutely useless. Ground that is unfruitful. A ground that cannot grow anything, much less bring forth a harvest, amen, of fruit. And yet Jesus comes to this last ground and He calls it good ground. Amen. How in the world do you, amen, do you go from wayside and stony ground and thorny ground, amen, to now having produced good ground? Amen. Well, it indicates to me, Brother Yale, that there has been some preparatory work that has gone on in this heart. Within this life, there are some preparations that have been made. Amen. And so let me make this statement. The good ground is in direct distinction to the previous three. Amen. When Jesus said, these are they which are sown upon the good ground. Amen. What He's saying is, this ground right here, it is in direct and opposite distinction, amen, to these other three that the same sower and the same seed has visited. Amen. This ground is distinct from the other three. Amen. What ailed them one by one, that is the previous three, what hindered them, what restrained them, what was choking them has been dealt with in this good ground. And so this morning we could say three things. Amen. We could say three things that unlike the wayside heart, amen, this ground, this good ground has been plowed. That wayside ground, it was packed. Amen. It was the road most casually and frequently traveled. Hardened ground, pavement ground. Amen. And yet when we look to the good ground, we see the field, the ground has been turned over. A plow has been laid to it. And my friend, there's been a breaking of that fallowed, hardened soul. It has been softened. Amen. May I say this morning that unlike the wayside heart, amen, this ground has been plowed. Amen. I'll come back to that in a moment. Unlike the stony heart, amen, this ground has been purged. What was the problem in the stony heart? Amen. It was that there was a fine, shallow base of soil, amen, that you could not see just underneath its surface. Amen. There were stones that had been left in the ground. Amen. Now Jesus said, amen, that may spring something up for a moment of time, but it will not endure unto the harvest. Amen. Why? Because there had been no preparation. There had been no purging of the stones that are in the field. There had been no removal of those hardened things that, amen, are going, my friend, to hinder the root and resist the truth. Amen. And so therefore it, amen, produces no harvest. When you come to the good ground, when Jesus said, amen, this is the seed sown upon the good ground, it's distinct from that second type of soil. Amen. This is ground that has been purged. Amen. Somebody has walked through this heart and began to remove and purge the stones and remove those hindrances from out of it. Amen. So that the ground can be prepared. Amen. To receive the seed and grow the seed and bring forth a great harvest. Unlike the thorny heart, this good ground, it has been pulled. Amen. What is the problem in the thorny ground? It is that the weeds and the briars and the thorns and the thistles, amen, have been allowed to grow in that ground. Amen. when you grow a garden. Amen. Now some of y'all let the weeds come up, the chiggers move in. Amen. And you got a mess on your hand. But amen, if you're going to grow a garden and produce fruit and have a good harvest, it takes time and preparation to get in there. So, amen, you can remove and pull the weeds and get out, amen, those things that are rivaling what you're trying to grow and harvest. Now, Jesus said, this is good ground. This is not like the thorny ground. Amen. Somebody's walked through this ground and somebody's been pulling the briars up and somebody's been dealing with these things to prepare this ground. This is the kind of ground that the sower longs to sow his seed. Can I say this morning, amen, you say, preacher, I don't know if I have a good heart or not. Amen. Well, let me just answer this for you today. Ain't a person in here that has a good heart. I know we talk about her mama, she had such a good heart. And we talk about her best buds and best friends. They just have such a big, good heart. Amen. Can I just say this morning, amen, Jesus said in Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 18, they had come to him and called him good. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? He said, there is none good, amen, except the Lord. And I want to say today, amen, there is none good, no, not one. Amen, we don't have a good heart. Amen, we have a heart filled with a sin nature. We have a heart that is hardened against God. We have a heart that is filled with the stones and the stony things in this flesh and its nature. Amen. A heart that is naturally filled with thorns and rivalries to the things of God. Amen. You say, preacher, if there's got to be good ground and I don't have a good heart, what in the world am I going to do? Here's what Jesus said. Amen. There's only one good. Amen. There's only one good, and that is God. Amen. And so evidently, if we're going to have a good heart, amen, that has good ground within it and receive the word of God, amen, then God must have to do a work in our evil heart. Amen. Can I say, when it comes to this matter of salvation, that we're no Calvinists, we believe Jesus died for everybody, and we believe the Lord would have all men to be saved. Amen. But we also believe this, Brother A.M., we believe salvation is of the Lord. Amen. That my friend, it is a working of God and His grace in our life. Amen. He has to prepare. Amen. He has to work in our heart. Amen. He has to bring us to that place. Amen. Where the gospel message can find a lodging place in our heart. Amen. Where it can grow it and root it and eventually bring forth the fruit of salvation in our life. So I want to say today, the preparation of the good ground, amen, the heart of man, amen, can only be made good by a preparatory work in the Spirit of God. Amen. Jesus said, no man, amen, cometh to the Father save the Spirit. Amen. Draw him. You've got to be drawn. Amen. There's got to be a work that goes on. How many of y'all, you know you're saved? You remember the day, amen, the Holy Ghost began to plow up your heart and began to work in your life and began to purge you and began to pull some things out of your life, amen, and He fertilized and prepared your heart to receive the message you was being given.
Yes, sir.
I'll never forget it.
Amen.
Amen. I may not get done with this morning. I feel like just preaching. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the day I got saved. But beyond that and past that, Brother Mike, I'll never forget the day when I know beyond a shadow of a doubt the Spirit of the Lord began to plow my heart up.
Yes, sir. Thank God. Amen.
I'll never forget the day, amen, we walked down. Amen, I had gone just to go to youth meeting to, amen, sit with a pretty girl. Don't laugh at me. I wound up marrying her, praise God. Amen. It turned out all right. Amen. But I had no interest in spiritual things. I wasn't going to. Amen. I wasn't going to meet God. I wasn't going to be saved. Amen. I was going for a girl in the games and going for the ball and going for the entertainment. Amen. But before we ever got to any of that, amen, they sent us down the basement of the First Baptist Church in Garden City, Michigan. And when Jason Kendrick opened up the Word of God and he began to preach, and my friend, when he began to preach, there was something that began to plow through my soul. There was something that began to pull on me. There were things my friend revealed that, amen, to me in that day, amen, that was sin and were the works in the flesh. And the Spirit of God began to deal with those things. And I say that, amen, this matter, the good ground, the good heart, amen, oh, it is the preparatory work in the Spirit of God. Amen, you don't prepare yourself. Amen, you don't get baptized to be prepared. Amen, you don't join the church to be prepared. Amen, this is a work of the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
Do you know something about Him working in your life? Do you know something? Oh, I may not get off the first point, Miss Mary. Do you know anything about the gospel plow?
Amen.
Do you know anything about the gospel plow being
right.
The Holy Ghost running that across you, breaking you down and showing you what you was? Hey man, I'm glad I know something about it. Bryce, and I know you're going to get baptized tonight. Ain't been saved long. Hey man, but I thank God for the day. Hey man, He plowed you up back there. I don't know why you came that morning a few weeks ago. You came. Hey man, but it blesses my heart to know. Hey man, the gospel plow is still doing its job in this day. You will never be saved. You'll never be made right with God. You'll never receive the gospel message unto salvation without, amen, the Spirit of God working in your heart and life.
Right.
Amen. Amen. That don't mean He makes you get saved. Like how Brother Billy Mitchell said it years ago. Amen. Amen. He said, no man ever gets saved without wanting to, but you don't get saved when you want to. That is, you ain't the one doing this saving work in your life. Somebody help me preach now. Hey man, people say, I'll do that. I'll deal with that when I get later. I'm young right now. I want to live my life. Yeah, what you're doing is making a wayside heart. Hey man, you say, I'll do that some other time when it's more convenient. Hey man, you're just growing, hey man, thorns and thistles and briars in your life. Hey man, don't resist the work of the Holy Ghost. Hey man, let Him work and prepare your heart that He can bring forth salvation in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Is that right? I believe it's right. Amen. Thank God for the day I heard the Holy Ghost speak to me. Thank God for the day it got bigger than just hanging on to Daddy's religion. Thank God for the day, amen, my heart began to be good ground. Amen. Not because I was good, I was rotten to the core. Are you listening? As a preacher's kid, amen, filled with rebellion, filled with worldliness, filled with the lust of the flesh, amen, but thank God the Holy Ghost came by my way and began to work and plow that up, amen, and what I got today is real because of the preparatory work of the Spirit of God in my life. Amen. That morning I walked in, that evening I walked in the First Baptist Church in Garden City, Michigan. Brother A.L., I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't interested. I didn't even know Yankees could even preach. We got some in the building this morning. Buddy, I'm going to tell you something. Brother Kendrick reared back, and I'm telling you the Holy Ghost used him, amen, to drop that plow blade into my heart and into my life and get my attention. I didn't get saved that night, but for 2 weeks, amen, for 2 weeks, you know what the Holy Ghost did? He pulled briars and thorns and throwed out rocks and plowed and plowed and turned it over it, turned it over it, and turned it over. And all the time I'd go to church and my daddy, hey man, he'd sow that gospel seed in there. He didn't know what the Holy Ghost was to do it. Hey man, he couldn't see beyond me playing the guitar. He couldn't see beyond me teaching a Sunday school class. Hey man, daddy had no idea what was going on the inside. The Holy Ghost just kept on and the seed kept on being sowed. Buddy, September 14th, 1996. Amen. The sower came by one more time. Amen. And sowed that seed. And praise God. Amen. That preparatory word, my friend, took hold in my life and it changed me.
Amen.
Changed my heart. And so the good ground, there is the matter, the preparation of the good heart. Amen. Boy, I got too much to give you. Amen. Let me quickly say something number two about the illumination of the good heart. The illumination. Notice something Jesus said here. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Now notice this phrase is a phrase we have read in each of the previous three grounds. Such as hear the word. Every one of these heard the word. And so it doesn't look like, amen, there's anything. And by the way, can I say that's the only hope you have is to hear the word.
Amen.
Whether you're wayside, stony, or thorny ground, I'm telling you today, amen, the only hope you have of salvation is to hear the word.
Amen.
Amen. But notice what the Bible said, such as hear the word. And receive it. And receive it. Boy, that's a big statement. But Jesse, I got looking at this, and you'll remember back in, I think it's verse number 16, about the stony ground. The Bible said of that ground, the sower sowed, such as hear the word. Amen. And as it was sown, the Bible, here's what Jesus said, immediately receive it with gladness.
Amen.
Now, I don't want to get too technical. I ain't smart enough to be technical. I'm like Brother Tim, being stupid's a good thing because you learn a whole lot if you apply yourself and you'll study. Now, I'm no Greek man. I'm no scholar. I'm no theologian today. I'm just a God-called preacher, amen, that gets my nose in the book. But if you'll study it out, you'll find the word receive in verse 16. Amen. It's being used to connotate, amen, something different than what Jesus says in verse number 20 when he said, and receive it. That there are different ways, different levels, amen, different levels and depths of reception involved here. The word received in verse 16, it simply means this. It means to be offered something, to hold it in your hand and examine it and have a hold of it.
Amen.
They're offered it. They take it in their hand. They look at it. They even shed a little tear and say a little hallelujah. But when times get tough, they say, no thank you.
Right. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
You're right.
Amen.
Jesus said they received it with gladness. They held it in their hand, but their hand is not the problem.
Amen.
The heart is the problem. Is anybody listening?
Amen.
The heart is the problem. They hold it in their hand. They even get goosebumps going, wow. But when discipleship comes into play, and when being a Christian costs them something, amen, they are gladly ready to relinquish it out of their hand.
Amen.
Jesus said the good ground, that they receive it, but it's on a much different and deeper level. What does it involve? What is this illumination? You say, preacher, say illumination. It is illumination in the fact that the light of the gospel shines in. How many of y'all understand if you're going to grow something, you can't grow something in the dark. There's got to be some light shining.
Right.
Their reception there, when Jesus said, "I'm receiving," I believe that is the light, the illumination, the word, the truth. How all of a sudden it means something to them. In fact, when Matthew 13, I believe it is, amen, I can't remember what verse it is, maybe verse 8 or verse 18, amen, when Matthew gives this account, amen, Matthew uses this phrase, amen, they understandeth it. They understandeth it. You see in verse 16, the stony heart, it takes it and looks at it. Amen. It's got an emotionalism that is attached to it. Amen. But they don't even comprehend what they're holding. They don't, and that's what the word understanding means, to comprehend. It literally means to, amen, to embrace it. And so there is an acknowledgement of truth that is going on in this heart. Nobody ever gets saved without acknowledging the Word of God is absolute truth.
That's right. Amen.
I heard a foolish statement this week by some liberals that are still trying to claim to be religious. There's mocking preachers like you're listening to and churches like you're sitting in. Here's what they said. They said, those of y'all who emphasize the authority of Scripture, they said it condescendingly. But Tim, they said, you need to understand that the Word of God does not emphasize the authority of Scripture. It emphasizes loving everybody.
No.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. That Bible says a whole lot about loving each other. But if you do not embrace this book right here and acknowledge it as truth sent from God out of heaven to you,
amen.
You will never be saved. This idea, well, we all go in the same place. It doesn't really matter what you believe. Amen. We'll all take our own paths and end up in the same location in the end. That is not what Jesus is teaching in the parable of sower. That's why there's wayside and stony and thorny ground. Amen. The good ground is the ground. Amen. Where the illumination, the light has shined upon that heart and they come to the acknowledgement of the truth. We're living in a day and age where truth is so relative. We've got so mixed up, messed up. Amen. Boys think they're girls and girls think they're boys. Amen. We're so, amen, our generation is in such darkness today. And I'm telling you, the only hope, amen, to bring them out, the only hope, amen, is there to be a good groundwork in men and women's hearts. And the illumination of the truth causes them to acknowledge God's Word is true.
Yes, sir.
Number two, not only acknowledgement of truth, but there is the acceptance of truth. I'm going a little long here. I've only been preaching 37 minutes, so, amen, hang with me. I'm going to be done when I get done. Amen. It won't be all day. Amen. Involves acknowledgement of the truth. Jesus said, and receive it. This statement, it has many definitions, but it involves an acceptance of truth. It literally means to admit, watch it now, or to accept, Brother Larry, to accept near. Verse 16, they hold it in their hand. But when Jesus said the good ground is such as hear the word and receive it, they don't just hold it in their hand. Amen. They receive it into the depths of their heart. It's near to them. It's not something they're looking for an opportunity to let go. It's not something they'll live for a little while. It is something that they have accepted and admitted into their life. life to change them. That's the only way you'll ever get seed to grow. The ground has to accept it. Why are there so many lost people in this day? Why are there, and I know this is going to get personal, but y'all understand, I am a preacher that believes we're in the last days and there's a bunch of folk dying and going to hell that need to be woke up, need to be shook, need to be warned, and need to get saved today. Some of you this morning, you're living your life without God, without being right with God, without truth. And you may be young and you may be old. Amen. And I'm telling you today what Jesus is saying is that if a man is ever going to be good ground, amen, saving ground, have a heart that I can save, he'll have to accept truth from that book.
Amen.
This pick and choose what you want to believe. This flipping coins, we'll see if it's all right in the end. You know, I was so foolish when I was a young person coming up, and all I've ever known is this kind of preaching. It ain't hurt me. You say, oh, it hurts you. Amen. I promise it ain't hurt me.
Amen.
It's all I've ever known.
What a blessing.
But I remember being a young person and having them doubts. Is all this real? Is any of this true? Is saving grace really all that powerful? And I would say, well, I'm just going to sit back and watch it a while. And then preachers would get up and preach on the second coming, and I would say in my heart, well, we'll just see if that all comes to pass. Waiting, no acceptance of truth, filled with doubt, filled with questions, filled with skepticism. Do you realize God has never saved a skeptic? God He cannot save a skeptic. Amen. You cannot be saved and be a skeptic. Oh, I wish somebody would help me preach. Those who have accepted God's word is true. Those that have accepted the gospel. Amen. I'm not talking about this shallow form of preaching that just accept Christ. Just accept Christ. Amen. This bunch of hippie, dope smoking religious outfit. Amen. About accept Christ. That ain't what we're talking about. I'm talking about believing. I'm talking about the light of the gospel coming off. And you say, I believe that with all my heart. When Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, he was saying, I have accepted him. I have believed in him. I have admitted him and his gospel into my heart, and it has changed my life.
Amen.
Acknowledgement of truth and acceptance of truth.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, it might get a little rough here. Y'all reach over and grab your seatbelt and click. Oh, did we take the seat? We took the seatbelts out, didn't we? Just hang on. Enjoy the trip. There is an assent. We use the word assent to the truth. This word, receive it. Are y'all ready for this? You want to know what it means? Lucas, here's what it means, buddy. It means to delight in.
Amen.
They hear the word that at preparation work has gone on in their life, and then there comes a time in their life they start delighting in what they've heard.
Amen. Amen.
To delight in. Are y'all ready? That word receive means to embrace with assent and obedience.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is teaching the good ground. It ain't just in it for a profession. I'm not against making professions. The Bible said, hold fast your profession. Amen. And I believe in that. Amen. But we're not talking about, amen, trying to find some little fix in our life. Amen. We're talking about, Jesus said, the good ground. Amen. It is ground that has had the illumination of the truth. Amen. They have not just heard, but they've let the light of it change their life. And now they are walking in obedience to the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And I know I'm preaching a lot about my own testimony, and this is my testimony. I'm not up here to preach your testimony. Amen. I don't know that as real as I know my own.
Amen.
I used to hate church. I used to hate sermons like this when they'd be at the 44-minute mark. Hey, man, I would be sitting there wishing, when is he ever going to shut up? Is this ever going to get done? Are they ever going to let us leave and go eat lunch? I hated all the music they sang. I hated the holiness and the standards they promoted. There wasn't anything about the things and spiritual things and biblical things I had any delight in. But at 17, when the Holy Ghost plowed up my life, began to purge me, it pulled some things out of there and make it good ground, I'm here to testify today. Things I used to hate, I don't hate them anymore. In fact, I love them. I delight in them. That is the good ground the sower's looking for. Is that right? Oh, that's right. Hey, man, teaching like we heard today on Jesus Christ, it doesn't bore me, it thrills me. Hey, man, it ain't a drudge, it's a joy to my heart. Hey, man, to hear that, hey, man, more about my Savior.
Yes, sir.
Tell me the story again.
Yes.
Sing about amazing grace. Hey, man, I'm telling you, I have found my delight. Hey, man, in the one who saved my soul. I found my delight in the message. It changed my life. I found my delight in the one who prepared my heart all along the way. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Brother Larry, I didn't come today because I had to.
Amen.
Came today, Bryson, because it's my delight.
Amen. Yes, sir.
So I don't understand. You just ain't met the one in whom my soul delighteth.
Amen.
And it's my privilege to obey Him.
Amen.
Brings joy to my heart to walk in the steps that He has laid.
Amen. Amen.
Are you listening? Say, I don't know if I got good ground or not. Tell me what thrills your soul.
Right. Amen.
Tell me who's got the reins of your life. Tell me who's sitting on the throne of your heart. Amen. Tell me today. Amen. Tell me today. Amen. What kind of changes have been made in your life?
Amen.
Yes.
Good ground has within an assent to the truth. We may not always like the truth. There may be times we fail at living the truth. But not for long. Because the same Holy Ghost that plowed me up when I was a sinner come by and smacked me upside my silly little spiritual head and say, "What are you doing, boy?"
Amen.
I have to say, okay, Lord, I know I shouldn't have done that, and I get my life squared back up.
Amen.
Somebody help me preach.
Amen.
I ain't preaching perfection. Somebody said, amen, down there, old Brother Ledbetter, he preaches perfection. Amen. I don't mean to quote Billy Mitchell all morning long. It's like he's here preaching this morning. Billy Mitchell said, when a man gets saved, it don't mean he'll be sinless, but it'll mean he sins less.
Amen.
You better write that down, and you better let the Holy Ghost drive that in your heart. The evidence and characteristic of a saved man and woman is, amen, there is an assent to the truth. There is an obedience
amen.
That follows their life.
Amen.
You're not a rebel anymore. Hey, I said a minute ago, God don't ever save a skeptic. He can't. God ain't ever saved a rebel.
Right.
Oh, you may have been a rebel when you was a sinner, but in that moment, hey, man, when you came to Christ, your heart was broke. You were saying, oh, Jesus, I surrender all. Hey, man, ready for Him to change your life.
Ain't you glad for the day them truths illuminated your heart? Amen. And reached down and did a work in your life. Boy, I feel like preaching. I feel like preaching. I feel like preaching right now. Illumination. The light came on. We're not in darkness.
Right.
We're not in darkness. Brother Tim, we're not in darkness today. Hey, here's what Paul talked about. A God of this world, he has the minds and the eyes and the lost. They're blinded lest. Paul said they should see the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Buddy, I'm telling the devil do all he can, keep the blinders on, keep you in sin, keep you in your immorality, keep you in your fleshly, worldly way of living. Amen, but I'm here to tell you, amen, there's some good saved, and there's good news, and there's a good Savior, and He offers a wonderful salvation.
Amen.
He'll change your life if you'll let Him turn the lights on. You leave here today different than you can. I don't know who I'm a preaching to. Amen. But God is looking for good ground. A Holy Ghost is trying to prepare some good ground. Amen. This man of God up here today, I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. You can tell. Amen. I failed homiletics. Amen. Amen. But I'm telling you today, amen, my heart is for you to be good ground that Jesus could do His saving work.
Amen.
It won't come without hearing the Word and the light coming on.
Right.
Have you ever received it?
Amen.
And receive it. Amen. Yes, well, that's 51 minutes on the button right there. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Say, quit looking at that watch. That's easy for some of y'all to say. You ain't the one up here having to look at everybody's faces. Y'all are good to preach to. Everybody here has been good to preach to.
Amen.
Why don't we do this? Let me just say a word about number three and I'll let you go. The manifestation of the good ground. It ain't good ground because you say it's good ground.
Amen.
It ain't good ground, boys, because people run around going, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. The manifestation is, don't miss it now, Jesus said, and bring forth fruit.
Amen.
It ain't a t-shirt you wear. It ain't a lapel. It ain't a WWJD on your wrist.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes. I'll preach it tonight. I feel led. I need to just unhook right here. Boy, y'all are listening so good, and I'm glad you're here. Betty, one thing I will say this morning, bring it to a close. When Jesus said, and bring forth fruit, that is not a self-produced work in your life. You know who the most miserable people are in this place right here this morning? It's those of you who are either having to be forced or you're trying to make yourself live a certain way.
That's right.
And it ain't your parents' fault you're so miserable.
Amen.
And it ain't this preacher and this church's fault that you're so miserable, amen, in your life today.
Amen.
Most miserable people here today are the ones who are trying to do it themselves.
Right. Amen.
John 15, verse number 1. Look over there real quick. I'll end right here. Can I borrow your book? Amen. That's King James only, ain't it? Amen. Hallelujah. I knew it was. I'm playing. Amen. Mark chapter 4. Not Mark. John chapter 15. Oh, you got to see this. You see, our Savior's looking for fruit.
Right.
He said, I'm the vine. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth the other, and that it may bring forth more fruit. I'll say more about that tonight. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Don't miss it now. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself.
Amen.
Jesus said, and bring forth fruit that is not them doing that themselves. You say, what do you mean? Amen. I'm glad you asked. The same Holy Spirit that did that preparatory work in your heart, He still stays there.
Amen.
Him, through the power of the gospel and the power of Christ,
Amen.
Begins to bring forth fruit out of your life.
Yes, sir.
Can I say something today? Everybody here is producing some kind of fruit.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody's bearing some kind of, bringing forth some kind of fruit. How do you know that? Romans 7 verse 4 says, talks about bringing forth fruit unto God. Verse 5 speaks about bringing forth fruit unto death.
Amen.
Everybody's bringing forth fruit in here today.
Amen.
What kind are you bringing forth?
Right. Amen.
Because whatever fruit is being manifest in your life tells what kind of ground you really are. So I didn't come here to hear all this. Amen. Evidently you did, because I don't believe there's nobody here by accident today. I don't believe you got here by accident. I believe everybody's here on purpose. Every one of us need to hear this today. That with being a saved child of God, there ought to be and will be some sort of manifestation of fruit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'll preach about it tonight. I got enough left in that last point. I'll be able to preach to midnight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are you saved? What kind of heart do you have? Can we be honest a minute? Y'all been so good. Brother Martin, it's been easy to preach in today.
Thank God.
I scared to death getting started. I'll be honest. All these new people, y'all scare me. Amen. I know all these others, they just look mad. They're harmless, though. Can we be honest a minute? Can we just be friends a minute? Will you let the Holy Ghost examine your life? I ain't asking, did you say a little prayer one day in a service and hold something in your hand and feel good? I'm asking today, has the Holy Ghost ever made good ground? You ever felt the plow of the gospel come across your heart? You ever felt Him begin to work in your life in such a way, in conviction you felt terrible, only to have the seed fall upon your heart and instantaneously the burdens be lifted and the joy of salvation comes springing forth in your life? What kind of heart do you have? Has your heart ever, is there any illumination of truth? Do you ever believe what that book says about what you are? Have you ever believed what that book says about where you're going if you don't get saved? You ever believed about the condemnation that it puts all of us under as sinners? Have you ever believed what it said, that Jesus is the only way? Has that light ever shined into your life? Have you ever embraced it? Accepted it near into your heart? Are you saved? Are you saved? So I'm trying to be. Oh no, we ain't talking about trying to be nothing. We talk about you is or you ain't. You is or you ain't. And I'm telling you, we're in the last days, and you ain't even hardly got to be a Christian. You only got to know about that much Bible to know this world's lost its ever-loving mind. We're in the last days. This thing's wrapping up. If you ain't saved and you've been planning on getting saved, today's a real good time. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. Let Jesus, His saving gospel, change your life. How many of y'all today say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And I'm happy about it. If you can't lift your hand today, today'd be a good day. Get it right.